We've been talking about that for the last few weeks, and we'll even talk about even maybe the next couple of weeks, maybe. But definitely next week. We're called to be witnesses. So we talked about our here. We kind of broke it down this way for our here. Is here in our church. You can be a blessing. You can be an agent of your witness here in your local church by working in the children's ministry, right? By going, By going like here in our body, serving as Melissa helps with the food every Sunday. Aren't you glad that Melissa helps bring food every praise God. If you want to be a part of bringing food, see Melissa, and you can be a part of helping people. I don't know, it helps me. I needed some protein this morning, so thank God Maurice brought food this morning. So I was really enjoying that this morning. So, but you can be a part, and not only in our church, but in your neighborhood, in the marketplace, wherever your foot travels, right? You can be a blessing in your wherever your here is, like wherever you're at. Amen? And then we talked about our there. Our there is what we're going to be talking about this morning. In our local community, being out in our community, like Super Surge, being out in our community, making a difference in our community, outside these church walls. Amen? And so then we heard last week from Dr. Mitch. Man, Dr. Mitch was amazing last week. We talked about, you know, you being able to be either a sender or a goer. Are you a sender or a goer? You can be a part of sending people to world missions and all over the globe, every part of the world. You can be a part of sending people. Amen. Some people may need some money for their Honduras trip. You can be a part of giving to their mission trip. So maybe you're not going to go, but maybe you can be a part of help sending somebody else to go. Amen. And so so we talked about those kind of things. So, but this morning I am so excited about this morning. I'll be honest, of all the things that we've talked about in here, there, and I'm not just saying this because she's here. If you're around me, you know. I'm so excited about introducing Lynn to you this morning and introducing what they do over at Papa's Pantry at Master's Training Center and what they do over there. I'm super excited. Lynn is the founder of Papa's Pantry and Master's Training Center, and we're going to hear her story. But she is also the vice president of the. Are you still the vice president? Yeah. Of the local Christian. Cherokee Christian Ministers Association. Yeah. So it's great. Like, it's amazing what's going on in Cherokee County that people don't even know about. It's amazing that pastors get together and they're not all bickering and all upset with each other, but they have the same. We have the same goal and same purpose that we get together and. And it's a really awesome thing. And so I'm super excited about Lynn. I'm not going to really give her a big introduction, just to say this is one of the big leaders of our community. And is so blessed and honored to have Lynn. Just give her a Hope Church welcome as she comes up and takes her place on the stage.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Lynn, it's so good to have you. It's so good to have you.
Great worship. I cried. So if y'all see any mascara
on my face,
it's because
we do that.
We do that.
It's so good. It's so good. Well, Lynn, I'm gonna just let you tell your story. So where are you from? Are you from here? Are you from everywhere? Or where are you from?
Everywhere.
You're here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. Actually, was born in Miami, Florida, Key Biscayne, before it was really rich. And so moved a lot, mostly South Florida growing up. Mm-hmm. My mother was married a few times, and so we moved a few times. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I was like 24, 25, I probably moved like 30 times.
Wow.
And it was a few times. And so I found that, I guess for my life, church for part of elementary school was getting on my bicycle and going to the local Lutheran church.
Oh, wow.
That was back when you...
So you were raised Lutheran? You were kind of... No?
No, I was sprinkled, baptized as a baby, as Episcopalian.
Okay.
Then I was Lutheran. Middle school, I was... it's called junior high then.
Yeah.
It was Baptist. I went with my best friend across the street. And then high school, it was mostly Catholic. And I, as a non-Catholic teenager, taught CCD with my best friend, Catherine Zalewski. And And then I went away to college and more Catholic and more whatever. You know, you name it, and basically I grew up in that church.
You did the tour of all of Christendom,
everywhere,
right?
See, here, there, and everywhere. and so what that taught me, though, was that it helped me as a young person extract what was the common stuff in the Bible and all the other stuff that didn't fit. And so that was...
That's so good.
It was really a good thing.
Yeah.
It was tough because I was always making new friends or always, you know, having a new room or new whatever. But, you know, God gives you what you need to equip you for where you're going.
Yeah.
He knows that purpose.
Yeah.
My first husband was Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I was a good Solomon for a while. But it was very short. In that marriage, not that it had anything to do with him being Jewish, but I was an abused wife in that marriage. Mm. A very short period of time, a couple of years, time enough to have a baby and run when she was not quite a year old, changed my name, changed my identity.
Wow.
And when I left, I had no shoes. It was a big, big, long story. We don't have time for it here.
Yeah.
But I had her and her blanket. No shoes, no identification.
Wow.
Got to a shelter about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, which I had been, they didn't have speed dial back then, but I kind of knew that number. And they almost didn't let us in because I didn't have her birth certificate or any ID to prove that I hadn't kidnapped the child and I was heading out of state. So, yes, the laws were very different back 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but you move on, fast forward, God just takes care of you. And so I was able to get a job with the phone company, and using my alias, I was an operator, dial O operator.
Yeah.
And so, hi, I'm Leslie. How can I help you? And God just.
Some people don't understand the dial zero and get an
zero.
Operator. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, too long of a story to explain. That's where I met my current husband.
Okay.
And he just kind of fell in love with me overnight because I was just a cute young thing when I was young. I was like, oh, no, you know, go away and come back in 5 years. You'd make somebody a great husband, but not mine. he was persistent. So we've been married now for 37 years.
Woo! Awesome.
Thank you. And we have 3 daughters and 2 are married. And 5 wonderful grandchildren.
Wow.
And so actually the oldest grands are going to turn 10. Wow. So it's, I begged my girls. I was that mother-in-law and that mother. It was like, my biological clock is ticking. I need kids. And so my middle daughter announced one day at my birthday that she was pregnant. So I was like, oh my gosh. And then my oldest daughter 2 months later announced that she was pregnant. Aww. And then that turned out to be twins.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Wow.
So from 0 to 3 in like 2 months.
Wow.
So it was wonderful. And so that's my family.
So you, when did you come into this area? When did you move to this area?
95.
Yeah.
About 95, December, like a week before Christmas. We packed up the house and moved here.
So yeah, yeah.
We've been in the same house now for 23, 24 years.
Wow. Oh, wow. So, and you've been doing Papa's Pantry for 20 years.
Yeah, last August we celebrated our 20th
we did.
Anniversary.
Right over here in the parking lot. Yeah.
That's right. You were
that's
there.
Right. That's
we
right.
Big tents, and that was a big celebration.
Yeah, that was fun. That was great. So 20 years. So, okay, so everybody wants to hear, I had a couple of people this morning go, I can't wait to hear her story. So tell us your story about how this whole thing started.
All right. Well, the here, there, and everywhere. I love the map, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And it started, truthfully, after a mission trip to India. And I didn't have much culture shock when I was there. Although it was babies taking care of babies, and Christianity was illegal in that part of India where we were, to where we couldn't even like sing. So I would do praise and worship. I had my guitar, and but the windows were sealed shut. We had to close them because any sound of anything Christian or worshiping, we could have been jailed. And it was like 117 degrees. It was just gritty. The air was But I had no culture shock, even with the food, and you just didn't ask. You just smile and nod, and you eat it. And
it's better than not ask questions when you're on a mission field.
Yeah, and really. And so, but, you know, so when I came home from that trip, my husband picked me up at the airport, back before we had cell phones, that it was international all the time. And I was just downloading everything I could talk to him, you know, as fast as I could. So coming north on the interstate, I'm kind of turned toward him this way, and he's driving, and so my view is more of the city as we're going through the city, and I'm telling these things, and all of a sudden, several things just kind of went boop, 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 just hit my brain. Yeah. And a couple were billboards. There was a billboard for a Rolex watch, and those are like a couple thousand dollars back then. Yeah. This is, you know, 21 years ago now. And Gap jeans with, you know, some girl's big old hip. And I was raising girls, so I knew kind of what they cost. And then we were kind of going through that part of town where it's just, you know, it's low income. You see the graffiti. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of run down. Then there's a steeple, you know, in the background. So that all of that was in that second, in that moment. And I stopped and I said to my husband, I said, there are so many resources in this country. Why isn't it working? And that phrase, that 1 to 3 second aha, has changed everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really the root of it. So I get home and I get packed and, you know, catch up on my sleep and get back to work. I was homeschooling two of my kids also and working full time and in a professional choir with Mount Perrin. And so, you know, attendance was required and, you know, I didn't need another project.
Right, right.
But I started to hear in my ear, just not audible, but I knew it was there, cupboard thing. And back then, the kids were doing the talk to the hand because the ears ain't listening thing. And I put, oh, God, you got the wrong girl. And kind of went on. And I found that every time I was sitting in a moment where I could just pause or have something, you know, just kind of come in, it was that cupboard thing. And I wasn't journaling back then. I wish I had been. So if you have a dream, start journaling because it would be an amazing story.
Yeah.
But at some point, and I'm probably a few weeks into this now, and I finally realized that I was saying no to God.
Wow.
And for me, I had been raised in all the churches. I knew I had a praying grandmother who kept me protected from a lot. And but yet I just didn't feel like God would use me or knew me. I mean, yes, we hear God knows you, you've got a purpose mm-hmm. in your life and all that. We all hear that, but to really hear it, to really mm-hmm. get it on the inside, that was that hard thing for me.
Yeah.
And so I finally just said, okay, God, I made a deal. I'll be hands and feet, but you've got to do all the work because I don't know what this is. I had never volunteered in a food pantry. I mean, I had zero experience, zero qualifications, the donkey, you know, here that he used. And I said, but, you know, within a week then, after I said, okay, I'll be hands and feet. But I thought, okay, God's going to leave me alone now because I'm not saying no anymore. So guilt free. Well, I started to look into other organizations that were grassroots and was like, how did you know it was God? And their stories were very similar to mine. And a lot of similarities. I thought, okay, this is good. One of those organizations, now in a week, this first week of after saying yes, said, well, I think God wants me to pay for half of your incorporation fees. And I went, what? What? Incorporation? So it just was like, God, you have to name it in a week. He named it Papa's Pantry. That's another backstory, which we don't need to talk about today, but very much using that part of my life when I was on my own and on the run.
Oh, wow.
When a Papa had, actually, here's a story, where Papa had given me groceries.
Wow.
And Papa turned out to be my husband's father.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so
wow.
Here I am. Yeah, different name, different identity, different look. Cut my hair. I used to have real long blonde hair. And, so that was the Papa person of Papa's Pantry who turned into be my role model. Again, my mother had been married a few times, and so there were some things in my background that I wasn't very close to men or whatever, and mm-hmm. you know, just a lot of abuse. And his dad, Bill's dad, knew God like nobody I ever met. He just knew him. He had that spiritual connection.
Yeah.
he was an ordained deacon in the Episcopal Church, so he was like a priest in the Episcopal Church. And somehow, okay, a little side story, and then we'll move on.
No, tell it. This is great. Oh, this is great. We got plenty of time. Yeah, this is great.
Somehow he roped me into teaching Sunday school to third and fourth graders. And I'm like, I have a baby. I have a one-year-old. By this time, maybe she was two. And so I don't know anything about teaching Sunday school. I'll help you. And I was like, okay, I'll let you help me. Because I was drawn to what this man had. I wanted what he had.
Yeah.
And so really even before Bill and I were dating, I went over to the house. He had five kids. And so a big, long kitchen table. And when I walked in, there were books stacked from one end to the other about the Bible. And I was like, oh, there's books about the Bible? And I was stunned. And yeah. So he's like, yeah. And I thought, well, how did I not know this, going to all those different mm-hmm. churches?
Mm-hmm.
And so he taught me how to prepare for Sunday school and to teach these
wow.
kids. Yeah, blessed are the meek. That was, yeah, Beatitudes. That was my first lesson. It was like, holy smokes. And so that's how I understood who the real God was.
By teaching.
Back then.
I gotcha.
And then by teaching, but mm-hmm. he taught me how to study and dig, not just take whatever was spoon-fed to me.
Oh, wow, that's really good.
And, man, boy, I use that every day here.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah, so that's the backstory of Papa's book.
That's so fantastic. Yeah. Wow. So your story, I didn't realize that about. I didn't realize it was, like, your story is quite a redemption story to, wow.
Yeah. One of the pastors said to me at one point, he's like, oh, you're not like this East Cobb housewife that just wanted to do something good. And I'm like, oh, heavens. No, that would not describe me at all.
So what's the process? So somebody said they were going to help you with your fees, right?
Yeah.
So what's your first steps to actually getting out there and doing something?
The first steps, I told my fellowship group, my small community group, what the Lord was doing. And so they actually, you know, armied up, and they went out and did a first food drive, and they went out and bought the first shelves at Home Depot, and are probably still over at the building now. And they set it up in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then
in your garage?
My garage, yeah. And it was, you know, I was home delivery. They would tell people, my church was telling people, colleagues, I mean, just people called me and said, I need some help with food. And so I'd say, okay, well, who's in the household? And what are the ages, and what kind of milk do you drink, and what vegetables? I think broccoli's on sale, so, you know, who eats that? And, you know, I didn't realize back then that food pantries didn't buy perishables. It was just strictly cans and boxes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because I had no experience. So God kind of used that inexperience to just mold something that looks very different.
Yeah, yeah.
And, so after a couple of months of that, it took over the garage, and my husband's like, can we move it to the basement? Because he wanted to park back in the garage. And I was like, okay. So that same army of, you know, friends that I had came and broke everything down and moved it down to the basement. And we operated it out of there for about five and a half years. And I worked corporate. Most of that time was at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
And so the food was delivered after work, weekdays, weeknights, and weekends. And that's actually the interesting part, too, of the ministry, because, again, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I would go grocery shopping, and I would buy the cold stuff. And so when we go home with our groceries, the first thing that we do is put the cold stuff away.
Yeah.
So that gave me a great opportunity to open up refrigerators and freezers and actually cabinets, too, because once I saw empty refrigerators and empty freezers.
Yeah, I remember that about your story, yeah.
I mean, that broke me, because even though, you know, my mom was a single mom here and there, and we said as kids, oh, there's nothing to eat, there was.
Yeah.
I never
yeah.
had seen that level of empty in a functioning household where people were living. And so that kind of gave me the, you know, courage to open up cabinets just to see, you know, what those were like, and they were empty as well.
Wow.
And so bringing food was the easy part, and we would sit down and it's like, well, How else can I really help you? You know, I mean, why don't you have enough to eat?
Right.
You know, the why behind the what.
Right.
And I would hear the various stories and relationships began. So it wasn't just about me bringing food, saying, hey, you know, have a good life. Boy, don't I feel good about myself. No, I would leave broken because I would see these kids or grandma, you know, sleeping on a daybed in the family room of a single wide trailer and with no glasses. I mean, I literally gave her my glasses, one of the ladies.
Wow.
They were readers or something, but she couldn't see. And so, you know, stuff like that breaks your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff that breaks God's heart, too.
Yeah, right.
And so I had the opportunity at Home Depot when I worked there, corporate store support. I was an executive assistant. Mm-hmm. I supported vice presidents. So I worked a lot with HR, you know, resumes and all that. And I found that when people were looking for work, I could say, well, I can help you with that. Let me show you and teach you and guide you. And all of a sudden people were getting jobs. I was like, that's pretty cool. Well then, now you've got this new income, let's protect it. Let's take care of it.
Right.
And so I was teaching them how to reconcile their bank statements. And I mean, calculators and a pencil and an eraser.
Right.
And here, you turn the paper over and this is what you do back in the day. And it was amazing that people were getting on their feet. And they didn't need me anymore. But the relationships were still there.
Right.
And in fact, there's one lady, she still lives in this area from, 20 years ago. I helped her on and off for many years with her and her kids. And at one point, her house burned down, and one of her kids perished.
Oh, my.
And, I mean, so when we invest in people's lives, I mean, we're all in.
Yeah.
And she still sees me to this day, you know, and she's like, oh, Miss Lynn, and we hug, and it's just... It's a wonderful reunion, and her kids are all grown, and she's got grandkids too, so we have more to talk about. But anyway, so that's really how the training center concept kind of blended with the food pantry assistance. So when God gave me the green light and I could leave leave Home Depot, the challenge then was how to create an open to the public place that where relationships were still fostered.
Right.
It was a safe place. It wasn't clinical. It wasn't like a government situation. You know, next. I mean, so to this day, we don't have lines out there. It's all by appointment. It's very individual. It's very customized with our approach. And we, you know, we want
choice.
To have a designated person to listen to the circumstances of what the family is walking through. And then, you know, listen to where we can say, here's some other services that we offer here that are available to you. And that's where the training comes in. If they don't have a job, well, we do the employment core concepts training over there twice a month during the week. We do it on weekends. We have online classes. So
what does that look like? What do those courses look like?
Core concept is we boil it down to 2 days. And it has used to be like 6 days. So it's really boiled down, and the stuff we pull out is advanced classes. The first day seems kind of basic, but we're teaching them how to read a job posting. We say, bring in printed job postings that you are qualified for, that you're interested in doing. Don't apply yet, because we don't want you to do it wrong. We want to help you do it right. And we use a highlighter. Here's a simple trick. If you're in a job search or you know somebody who is, the SEE, skills, experiences, and education, if you have those things on the job posting that you see, highlight it with a little yellow highlighter. And at the end of that, you say, do I have enough to really put forth the time and effort to customize a resume that speaks to the needs of the company? Because it's not about the biography. They don't care. The employers just want to know, can you do the job?
That's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
And do it well. And as a boss, make me look good. That's what companies want. And so that's that first day. The employer psychology is very much a big piece of what we do.
That's
the
brilliant.
Why behind the what.
That's brilliant.
And then it's God. And, you know, I take no credit. I hope to take no credit for any of this, because it really all has been inspired by the Lord. But then, the second day is your interview questions. So if you've got some really difficult situations you've got to explain, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Lucille Ball. I'm sorry, that was the old thing. Explain, Lucy. You know, we teach people how to truthfully answer those questions, not throwing anybody under the bus, but, you know, but corrective action's been taken and whatever. So those two parts we do twice a week on a Wednesday and Thursday in the building. And then, and one is starting this Wednesday. So if anybody is in job search mode and you want to jump in, 10 to 1, 3 hours each day. Just call us and let us know you're coming so we have registration, or we have the packet, the instruction materials mm-hmm. for you. We do that twice a week, twice a month, and then we do it Saturdays for people who are underemployed, maybe stuck in a job Monday through Friday. They can come on, usually it's the first Wednesday of the month, the first Saturday of the month that is the employment piece one with the resume.
Wow.
And then the third Wednesday, we just did it again. Third Saturday, which was yesterday, we do the interviews.
Yeah.
And so that's how that kind of, and then we have a couple of online classes.
Yeah, so I love your whole, kind of the holistic approach to helping solve, not just feeding people, but so this has always been one of those things that as we are people who are trying to endeavor to help people, right? There's always that, does that person really want help? Does that, you know, how do you process that, the difficulties of dealing with that kind of stuff? And how do you process all that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And typically they kind of screen themselves out because it's a partnership.
Yeah.
We call the people who are in our training programs and receiving food partners. They have their part to come to the classes to meet with the coach or the mentor weekly to make sure that they don't get stuck or in a rut or depressed or, you know, two steps forward, one step back. We want them to be in the building at least every
right.
week. And then they get to take food home. What's wrong
right.
with that? Meat, milk, and produce on top of, you know, the non-perishables. I mean, what is wrong with that?
Right.
And so they do their part. We do our part by providing the food as promised and giving them excellent care, prayer, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are excited about, where have you been? I really need this. Thank God for you. And others are like, that's just a little bit too much accountability for us. And so they kind of, you know, waver. But we tend to let them screen themselves out. We don't chase them down and say, hey, we need to give you more food. Hey, we need, you know, it's that boundary and balance
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we haven't seen them in the building in a couple weeks. Certainly we're calling them, we're emailing, we're missing you, what's going on, something we can pray about you or with you for. So, because the relationships are still core. You know, that's still at the center of all of this. Sometimes people don't come back because they're not into that much.
It's the commitment. It's the commitment.
Absolutely.
And
sure. But if you can go from, oh my God, I'm the worst case in the whole world you've ever seen, I'm hopeless, I can't pay my bills, I'm facing eviction, to 2 or 3 months later having $1,000 in an emergency fund, which, by the way, is what the goal is. I didn't talk about the budgeting piece, mm-hmm. financial literacy. We do one-on-one. When they have an income that is steady and it's enough to meet their expenses, we do one-on-ones with them, so it's not a class. And we are helping them with cash flow and needs, wants, luxuries. We have that conversation. We still keep the food going, so they're not spending a couple $100 a week on food.
We could have that same conversation, needs, wants, luxuries. We could have that. That's probably a sermon series, right?
Actually, the whole financial literacy is several series, because you can do credit repair, you can do tons of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And which we do in classes, off-site. We do a lot of off-site training, too. But anyway, the budgeting in-house, the goal is $1,000 in an emergency
awesome.
Fund.
Awesome.
So, you know.
You're teaching them how to do it, right?
Yeah. We're teaching them how to do it.
Yeah.
And always looking 3 months down the road. It's not about Friday. It's not about the end of the month. It's about if I take off today or I woke up with a headache, I don't want to go to work. Plug that into your little spreadsheet and see the negatives start to pop up.
Yeah.
Or, I have overtime opportunity. Plug that into your spreadsheet. I can throw more into savings.
Yeah.
You know, it's equipping. And marriages are restored just over something simple like that. You know, because then you've got them talking to each other
mm-hmm.
and making goals and allowing themselves to believe that those dreams can come true.
Yeah.
And, it's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
So tell me a couple of, maybe one or success stories. Like, we want to hear, like, what...
one of our recent ones, I'm hoping to get her story for the magazine, but she's kind of past the deadline, so it may not make it in there. She is a certified stenographer, you know, baby, looking at the babies and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Her certification lapsed. And so she had to do some other kind of work. She had some kids, has some kids at home, single mom. And she wound up getting another job pretty quick outside of her field because the certification lapsed. She had $250 to sign up for the test. But through, you know, partnered organizations, we found her that $250.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And so she's now waiting for her test, and which she had to put out until April because it's on a Saturday. She doesn't want to mess up her real job, you know, right now, Monday through Friday. But that's just one.
So she came to you. How did she come to you? She just showed up?
No, by appointment.
By appointment? But that's what I meant. By appointment.
We prefer that they call, because we do, we're open 6 days over there, Monday through Saturday. Typically, Wednesday nights we're there, so people who are working full-time can still get to us. Saturday mornings from 9 until 1 we get there, so people can get to us. Tuesday through Saturday, we have assigned people to be the advocates.
Okay.
Might be somebody on staff. That's actually a volunteer position that I'm hoping to pull in some volunteers with that are, you know, they've got to be pretty sound in their faith and pretty balanced and, you know, not be afraid to talk to people or ask some personal questions. Everything's done respectfully. But we want to be able to have somebody to just listen.
Yeah.
And there are times when people are like, no, I'm just here for the free food, and that's okay. They come back. They can be a first-timer more than once a year. But then others are like, you mean you'll listen to me? And, the tears will come, and we always ask in that setting, you know, is it okay if I pray with you? After we kind of feel like we've got the gist, they've got a job, don't have a job, they have money, they don't have money. We talk about the training, okay, could I pray with you before we go get you some food? And at that point where you ask to pray, you know, can I pray with you? They're like, most of the time, yes, you'll pray for me. I mean, you'll go to God on my behalf.
That's so awesome.
It's almost heartbreaking. And it's like, okay, yep, absolutely. So we'll pray about the job. We'll pray about the whatever. What else can we pray about? We need another half hour sometimes because then the real story starts coming.
Yeah.
And I'm a weeper. I do cry along with them sometimes. And we walk away sometimes thanking God for our own set of problems.
Yeah.
That we're not walking through what some of them walk through, but they are very brave and very courageous, and they trust us, and we trust God, you know, to see it through.
Yeah.
But, you know, 20 years later, it's a wonderful process that the Lord has developed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so awesome. Oh my gosh, what you guys are doing is so amazing.
Yeah.
So talk about talk about the needs in this area, like Cherokee. Like, you don't. You know, this is America, right? It's Cherokee County.
It is America. You know, we're doing a lot of off-site training, too. I'm tagging on what you asked.
Yep.
But also just kind of throwing that net out there that our whole heart is to work with people who are trying to get on their feet, bottom line. And a couple years ago, we started to go outside the building a little bit more, working with the Domestic Violence Center and taking our job skills, you know, employment stuff there. We started to go into addictions recovery programs and teaching life skills and employment. And then we're teaching, we're in three different at-risk youth programs.
Mm-hmm.
So Cherokee County is like any other county.
That's right.
You know, the opioid problem has hit hard. I can't think of any family that probably doesn't know somebody who hasn't been touched by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a crisis, and our hearts are heavy, you know, for those populations. And so the training that we're offering to those populations is really relapse prevention. We really want to put into them the love of God, certainly, but giving them some very literal, basic skills of how to understand their trigger points or their weaknesses or whatever.
Yeah.
Once they're in their long-term programs, long-term 9 months, 6 months, a year, that's a great program. But then when they're out, it's like, where do they go?
Yeah.
And we're making those connections now, so when they come out, they know where to go.
That's right. That's right.
And in fact, one of the training, one of the facilities that we're training in is called Mothers Making a Change. It's in Cobb County. We work in Cherokee, Cobb, and Bartow primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come from Gwinnett, some from Fulton, but geographically, because where we are, those are just kind of the natural Tri-County areas. But mother's making a change, drugs or whatever. These are women who have been court ordered. They are pregnant or have kids, and they are caught high or with drugs or whatever, and they're put in jail. And the judge says, I have a get-out-of-jail-free card for you, but it's going into this program. And it's a longer-term program. Some have their kids, some don't. Some women are pregnant, which blows my mind. And we trying to teach them life skills, and one of the directors came and said, can you just teach them how to grocery shop? We're like, what?
Right.
These young moms, teach them how to grocery shop and meal plan. So we did a presentation for like an hour and a half on site, and you know, unit pricing, and it's like, they don't get it. We had to take them on a field trip the next day, or the next week rather. Stephanie took one half of Kroger one way, and I took the other half the other way. We crossed in the middle, teaching them about how to really grocery shop and meal plan. We didn't come up with, hey, I think we're going to come up with a great grocery shopping, you know, module.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just whatever the needs are.
Yeah.
One of those ladies got out Friday, and she lives fairly close to our center, so I feel like she's going to be over here, you know, just kind of peeking in and say hey to us. But having that population or people who are rebuilding, any population, anybody's rebuilding, because we all go through stuff, and there's a rebuild, you know, phase. I want them to know where we are.
Wow.
It's very exciting.
So you have your fingers all over Cherokee, Cobb, and Bartow. It's amazing.
And the magazine.
Oh, yeah,
the magazine. We've been doing this. Thank you. And your pastors are in this. Pastor David wrote a really phenomenal article.
Thank you.
And our logo is the artichoke. Anybody want to guess why? Huh?
Peeling the layers.
Yes, absolutely. Inside is a tender heart, and so you know people kind of come to us with a little bit of boundary and protection, and it works for them just to keep people at bay. But with the relationships, we're peeling those layers.
That's awesome.
And revealing the heart.
I love it.
And
I love it.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And so, but this, we just got this magazine in Whole Foods, Barrett Parkway and Highway 40.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Awesome.
So
that's fantastic.
This thing is expanding too.
So if somebody has a business and they want to advertise in it, they're welcome to.
They are. I am in deadline right now. So when I leave here today, I'm going home to work on my computer some more. And they can advertise. It is paid advertising. It helps us to, you know, pay for the publication, the full color publication. There's some outside on the table. And then anything that's left over at the end of the process goes into our feeding program to buy meat, milk, and produce for our partners. Inside the back cover of these magazines is always our training schedule. So if you know of anybody who, you know, wants any kind of job training or, you know, sometimes fun things, a cooking thing or time management, I'm teaching time management, life balance, next Saturday over at the building, Saturday morning. So anyway, that kind of stuff is on inside back cover.
So actually, we have a bunch of them out on the table. So you're welcome to grab one and
We're excited. I mean, 2019 has. I think I had two Sundays off and one Saturday in January.
Oh man!
And I had yesterday off, which was pretty good. I should have been working on a magazine, but I went shopping with my daughter instead.
There you go.
And but it's busy and it's fun. And it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And I'm working with a low-income community right now, kind of beta testing a little vision that I have for the future.
Nice.
Trying to get them stable to move, you know, out of the community.
I love it. This let me just say, this lady right here is she is such a purpose-driven. Is intense the right word? But just that focus on this is what we're going to do, and just out there just wanting to make a difference. And you could be working in the corporate world somewhere and you...
Oh, I'm so glad he released me from that.
Yeah.
Really.
But you're fulfilling your purpose, what God's called you to do, and we're super grateful. So how can a church like ours be a part So we support you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, every month. And what can we do like physically? Like if somebody wanted to be involved and actually put, maybe they wanted to be an advocate, or maybe they wanted to be a somebody who met people, or they just wanted to rearrange the food pantry or whatever. How can somebody get involved? In different levels.
Yeah, we've got several different things that you can do as a volunteer. Typically, the advocate position is that person who, like I said before, meets with that family one-on-one and is a listener, but is able to turn it around and process. So they need to know and keep up with the other training things that are mm-hmm. going on. Of course, they have the magazine and the back cover, you know, at their fingertips to be able to help them with that. But the goal is to try to get those families engaged with us.
Yeah.
We want to let them know from the very beginning we're different.
Mm-hmm.
And we are intentional about, you know, accepting them and about just encouraging them through the whatever. Yeah. And so that person, you know, it just, that's a heart thing. You can't teach that. It comes from the heart.
Yeah.
So if somebody feels like they are good at talking to people and with an authentic caring for people, because if you're just filling out a form, they can tell me, and that's not what we want in the building for the experience for our clients. Another thing that we are actively looking for is a volunteer either on a Monday or a Wednesday morning
mm-hmm.
from about 9:30 till 11. Walmart up here is a great partner with us. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we are driving our truck to the back of that store, and they're giving us meat. And sometimes some produce and whatnot. And when we get produce, we get cases. I think we had like a dozen cases of oranges a couple weeks ago, and then a couple cases of apples. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. And it goes out fast because, you see, we're not only just feeding the families who come, but we've got the addiction centers coming. So on Monday, we've got Genesis coming. On Wednesday, maybe we've got Vision Warriors coming. And Friday, we've got Turnaround Kids. Are you familiar
mm-hmm,
with them?
Mm-hmm, sure.
We feed them. We've been feeding them since they started.
Wow.
I think they had like 4 kids when we started with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
It's
been a while ago.
Yeah, so, you know, Sid comes or sends somebody every week. And so the food comes in, and man, it just flies out.
Yeah.
And it's like that little building, you just would have no idea that there's so much
amazing.
Going on.
It's amazing. You should, if you've never even been over there, you should go over there and just go tour what they do and their pantry and everything. It's really well organized. Yeah, let them know in advance. But it's well organized and they just do a tremendous, tremendous job. And when you've been doing it, when you're as bright as Lynn is and as organized as Lynn is, and you've been doing that for 20 years, you kind of get it. You know what I'm saying? So it's my heart as a church that I feel like for us as a church, that it's time for us to kind of get out of these walls, right? And it's time to get for us to get involved with what's going on and really get out there and be a part of helping other people. And we actually hosted their volunteer banquet back in December. No, it was in January. Was it January?
No, it was December.
Was it December?
Decorated for Christmas.
Oh yeah, it was decorated for Christmas.
The 5th.
Yeah, that's right.
15th or
10th. Yeah, something like that.
But
so Lynn and I we were kind of chatting and we're like, yeah, we're right across the street, and we're like, why haven't we hooked up like long time ago? So this is like a no brainer. Like we're right across the street from them, right? So I just want to put that challenge out there, and as we grow, I just want to let you know, as we grow, my heart for our church is not just to be in these four walls church. Right? Or wherever we land in the future. Like my heart is never to be that. I want to be a part of affecting change and helping our community and being a part of our hands reaching out into our community and being a blessing, whether it's Super Surge, right, over there, or whether it's Papa's Pantry. And there is something for you to be able to do over at Papa's Pantry. And I just want to challenge us to be a part, to do something. And we have a computer out there. We're going to see if we can get that going, but there's a computer out there. You can actually go on their website and click on their volunteer tab, and you can actually sign up. Right, you can do that this morning. And there's different things, different areas that you can sign up. Lynn will be here for a little bit afterwards. You want to talk to her about what she's doing, and so Lynn, do you have anything else you want to share for?
Yeah, Yeah, as far as volunteering, you know, we do run a background check on everybody just because that's due diligence. Even if you're just dealing with cans, we just have to know. But just because there's something on there doesn't mean that you can't. We just have to talk about it. And then two, another thing is a pantry attendant.
Okay.
Because our process there is the families are able to select off the shelves what they want to take home with them. It's a very different process. A lot of other food pantries give them pre-sorted bags or boxes, and it's a 2 or 3 day emergency allotment of whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's very little of, from what I understand, of meal preparation stuff. And so we're trying to help them plan their meals.
Okay,
you've got 4 kids. You've got 2 teenage boys. That's going to look a lot different with what you go home with than if you had a couple of toddlers.
Right.
And so the pantry attendant is there to make sure you take enough.
Yeah.
Because if you've been doing the food pantry thing for any length of time, you forget how to shop, and you're just taking what you get. And I have seen people take stuff out of our pantry, sit in the front seat, get a plastic spoon or fork out of their glove compartment, open up a flip top, and eat.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
We always try to have apples and bananas in the lobby so people can eat something while they're waiting for their appointment, because we got a lot to tell them. But if they're hungry, they're not going to hear anything.
Yeah.
And so that pantry attendant is, you know, there to kind of say, hey, you can make this little casserole with this and this and this. And just there to encourage that person, be sweet to that person, and help them take enough.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And then we have an organic garden behind the building.
Oh, nice.
Above ground boxes that the master gardeners are project managing of that. And so if you want to help with that during the summer, you can. Those work days are usually every other Wednesday. It's going to be planting potatoes this next Wednesday.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
So something going on all the time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So at the end of this month, we're going to, actually next week, we're taking up we've talked about it all month, we're taking up a special offering. We've never really done that at our church before. We're going to take a special offering for 4 different ministries that we support, and Papa's Pantry is going to be one of the people that we're going to divide that money up for. It's my heart. So we gave a whole service, because it's my heart that I want to do something. I want us to get involved and do something with Papa's Pantry, because what they do is affecting our community, and what she's doing and also she's very well connected as well with all the different things that are going on in our community. So she is a valuable resource to us as far as us being able to get involved with our community, and I'm looking forward to even partnering even more with Lynn and what they're doing, and have that aha moment that we had at the volunteer banquet actually come to reality. Amen. So why don't we give Lynn, you have anything else you wanted to share?
No.
You're good. Why don't you give Lynn a hand as she goes. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's good. So let's everybody stand. We've been sitting for a minute. Jessica, you want to just come? Just you come to the thing. Wasn't that good? Aren't you glad there's people like that just answer the call? Just to do what, what's amazing is kind of the gist of what we're hearing this month is we're hearing just normal people had a vision and they started doing something.
Yeah.
And it's like we say here, like I've said it before, somebody's got to do something, it might as well be me.
That's right.
Right? And to be a part of, like William always says, he goes, I just want to be a part of the solution. I just want to be a part of the solution. I love that mentality. I just want to be a part. So you can be a part of helping. And Let's just bow your heads for a moment, and maybe you just say, and maybe it's not you. Maybe this is not your deal. Maybe your heart is so full of world missions, and that's great. That's awesome. But maybe God's maybe speaking to you about what he would have you do. And God, we thank you. God, we pray. God, we'll just take a moment. God, we pray for Papa's Pantry. God, we pray, God, for what you're doing over there, God. Father, we thank you, God, for all these 20 years that you have led Lynn and to where it is today. God, we thank you, God, for all the learning, the learning difficulties and all of that wisdom that she's gained over the years to be where they are at today. God, we thank you, God, for them. God, we speak your abundant provision, God, over Papa's Pantry and Master Training Center. God, we thank you, God. We just even declare that every need be met in Jesus' name. Every financial need be met. God, I pray that they would have, like according to your word, an abundance towards every good work, God. They wouldn't just barely get along, but God, I pray for an abundance towards every good work. God, we thank you, God, for them. Bless them, oh God. Continue, God, to bring volunteers that are able to speak life into the hearts of these people that come. And God, we thank you, God. We thank you for what you're doing over there. God, we thank you, God, for what you're doing at our church. And God, moving us to action. God, moving us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And God, I pray, God, that as you speak to us, God, we'll be, like Lynn said, we'll be obedient, God, to what you asked us to do. God, we just want to honor you with our lives, God. You've given us so much great things. God, you told Abraham you'd bless us to be a blessing. So God, that's what we want. We want to be a blessing, God, wherever we go. Thank you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. 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 Amen.